Hey, it's Dolla White, and this is the Dolla White Podcast. My guest today is actor and author Justin Baldoni, who recently wrote an incredible book titled Man Enough, Undefining My Masculinity. Now, something that we hear from the time we're young boys throughout the rest of our lives is suck it up, be a man. But what does that really mean? Most of the time, it means regardless of how shitty you're feeling, don't talk to anyone about those feelings. Don't even acknowledge those feelings yourself. Just keep doing the things that are expected of men in our society and tuck any emotions that make you human away so deep that you literally fucking forget that they're there. Now, full disclosure, I just glanced at Justin's book before our interview, but I was so blown away by our conversation that afterwards, I began really diving in, and to say that I was amazed is an understatement. Justin talks about things that we just don't speak about when it comes to men. Some of those things may seem obvious, like the pressures of being a husband and a father, but the book goes way deeper than that into the incredibly fucked up things men do to one another during our adolescence years, and even covers how we learn about sex. It's all fucked up. This book brought up extremely uncomfortable memories for me that I honestly hadn't thought about for 20 years, and that's the beauty of it. How can we, as men, begin to unpack trauma and heal if we've buried these feelings so deep that we literally don't even remember that they're there? I cannot recommend this book enough, and not just for men. I believe women should give it a look as well. Think about Justin Baldoni. On paper, he has everything society tells us we need to be successful men, from his career to his physical appearance, and if he can openly admit that he has feelings of inadequacies and insecurities, maybe it's time for the rest of us men to follow suit. Maybe, as Justin says, we need to undefine masculinity. Welcome to the Dolla White Podcast.
Pull up, get it. Live.
Yeah, what's up?
This is not live. It's completely recorded.
Broadcasting from one of the top recording studios in all of Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, that's not true at all. I'm probably at home doing this.
He's been called one of the greatest thinkers of his time.
Literally no one has ever called me that. I do kind of agree with it, though.
A 2017 recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize.
That's just a flat out lie.
Talking politics, community, race, religion, entertainment, sports, and whatever the fuck else.
Yeah.
It's the Dolla White Podcast.
Episode 21 now of the Dolla White Podcast. My guest today, actor and now author, Justin Baldoni. Thank you for being here, man.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure.
First of all, love the book. Man Enough, Undefining My Masculinity. I want to start with a preface because that's what we're here to talk about, your book. You say, I don't want to redefine masculinity. I want to undefine masculinity. So let's explain that.
Yeah. So I think when I first started this journey of unpacking and exploring masculinity, I wanted to redefine it. That was the idea that I had. I'm like, all right, we got to redefine this thing. And I learned, the more research I did, the more I dug in on myself, that by redefining it, we would actually just be creating another problem. Because anytime you have a definition of something, it means that somebody's going to feel like they're outside of it. They're not enough because they don't fit into that box. Right. And I don't want to create a new box. We already live in the box. We already live in this man box, this box that tells us that we have to be a certain way. We got to be big enough, strong enough, successful enough, sexy enough, whatever enough is to be a man. And so I decided, and I realized in conversation, honestly, with women, that it's about undefining. We need to undefine what it means to be a man, to make room for anybody who identifies as a man to be a man. We got to get rid of the enoughness. Enough, if you will, is enough.
Right. I totally agree with that. And one thing that you mentioned, especially early in the book, performative masculinity. So explain exactly what you mean by performative masculinity. I feel like it's kind of obvious, but just in case.
Look, I think that masculinity at the end of the day is a performance. We're just performing. We learn masculinity from other men, other boys, from movies, from TV shows. And all we're doing all day long is performing, especially like when we're with a bunch of other dudes. It's just a performance. When we're with women, it's a performance. When we're with men, it's a performance. When we're at our jobs, it's a performance. We're told that being a certain way works. And then we put on that shirt and we try to be a certain way, even down to the way we dress and the way we walk, the way we talk. So much of it is a performance. And I'm honestly, I'm tired of performing. I want to know who I am. Who is Justin outside of the man box, outside of these social rules and norms? Who am I in relationship with another man? Where do I feel confident and secure? Who am I in relationship with another woman? And the only way I can learn these things is by challenging that very same system and unpacking that stuff for myself and asking myself how I feel, asking myself what makes me tick, what makes me feel good.
Was there a situation or an event in your life that kind of put you down this path and down this journey? Or is it just like over time, you're like, I don't like the way I'm feeling. What is this?
There was a lot of that. Yeah. There was a lot of it, man. You know, Dolawide, have you ever been in a situation with another guy or a woman or at a party or something where you kind of like puff up your chest a little bit and maybe you're feeling a little insecure. You don't even know if you are. And you end up saying something that you actually don't believe.
Yeah, I feel like I'm pretty evolved now, but I feel like I probably still do that sometimes on accident, right? Like, yeah.
But that's the thing, right? That's the thing. It's like I had so many of those types of experiences. And what we never do is ask ourselves, why do we say that?
Right.
I don't even believe that. Why did that just come out of my mouth? And in the moment, once it leaves your mouth, it's like it's too far gone. And you kind of got to keep going with it, right?
Right.
You finish the story and then you leave and you can't stop thinking about that experience. You go home, you're driving home, you're with your girl or something, and you can't even say it. You're like icky. You're like, oh man. And you can't even get past that. It's like, why did I say it? I felt like such a dummy. God, they probably think I'm an idiot. We have all of these experiences as human beings. Women have them too, as same as men. But as men, we have these all the time where we are in groups and we're with other guys and we're constantly testing each other's masculinity. We're constantly testing each other. And we end up feeling shittier. I don't know if I'm allowed to say
that.
Yeah,
no, go ahead. Go for it. Yeah.
We end up feeling worse than we did before we got there.
Yeah.
Because we don't feel like we're enough. Because in some way we failed. We failed the test of masculinity, whatever it is. And it was just a lot of those types of experiences that over time just kind of accrued and built up. And I just started saying like, enough is enough. Why am I saying this? Why am I doing this? Even with my own wife, even while I was dating her, I was like, you know, I was just trying everything at one point.
I did that with my wife last night. Like I said something, I'm like, what'd I do? What'd I say that for?
Yeah. And I would actually say that then the bravest thing that we can do as men in those situations is to call ourselves out on it immediately and be like, I don't know why I said that. I don't know why I said that. I'm sorry. That's not me. Let's rewind. Let me start again. You know, I think that takes some real bravery.
What does it take internally to really be able to kind of shut that off? Because it does feel like men have to project some form of masculinity. We feel like we have to impress, we have to provide, we have to do all of these things with all of these pressures. But what does it mean to really strip that down? What does that process look like?
It means questioning. It means asking ourselves questions, which as boys and men, we're not taught we're allowed to do.
Yeah.
I mean, do you ever remember a time that you were taught to ask yourself how you feel about something?
No.
No, we're told like, you suck it up. Don't ask questions. In fact, we're told to not ask questions.
Yeah.
Not only of other people, but of ourselves, right? So it's got to start by asking questions. I actually think that by challenging this stuff, by asking these questions, by showing up as we are, we're doing the most masculine thing we could possibly do. We have purpose. We got a sense of direction. We're confident. If you can be confident in challenging this socialized behavior, well, aren't we then being men? Aren't we then being masculine, right? Aren't we drawn to men that are leaders and lead the world? Here you go. Here's your chance, right?
Right.
Stand up for something. We're told that we got to stand up for something to be men. All right, we'll stand up for women in front of other men. Oh, that's too much. Oh, we can't do that because then we're going against our own gender.
Yeah.
Right? We got to rethink all of this stuff. I would argue that opening yourself up and being vulnerable and tapping into your sensitivity and your compassion and your empathy, and having a clear sense of direction of wanting to create a better, more just, equitable world could perhaps be the most masculine thing that we can ever do as men.
I agree. It's almost like you're standing up for what you believe, even though society tells you not to believe that, right? Which is, like you said,
the most masculine thing you could ever
do. Yeah, exactly. Let's go over some of these chapters in the book. And I want to know which one you feel most personally attached to. I know you probably feel personally attached, obviously, to all of them because it's a story about your journey. But, you know, there's always certain things we feel stronger about than others. So there's brave enough, big enough, smart enough, confident enough, privileged enough, successful enough, sexy enough, loved enough, dad enough, and then just enough. If you were going to learn the most out of one of these chapters, which one spoke to you the most?
Oh, man. I mean, they're all their own books. That was the challenge in writing this book, because each one of these chapters could be its own book.
Right.
I'd say one of the most important chapters is privileged enough.
Yeah, I agree.
I would say that I would say that.
Let me preface this with saying, it says the reality of my racism and white male privilege. And I talk a lot about race on my podcast and radio show. And one of the things I think we all have to admit as white males is that, like it or not, you are indoctrinated into some form of racism. You can fight it, but fact of the matter is you do have some racist behaviors. And if we all admit that, this is a better place. And you obviously admit that.
Yeah, and it's also the same, but if you, and the reason why I put it in the book is because as a man, I've learned that I cannot separate my maleness and my whiteness, right? So if I'm going to be a man and challenge the system and advocate for gender equality and be anti-sexist, why wouldn't I be doing the same thing as it relates to racism and my whiteness and being anti-racist, right? My maleness and the system that I was raised in that benefits me has been hurting women and queer and gender nonconforming folks forever. And my whiteness has been hurting people of color. So they're intertwined, and I didn't realize that. And it took me a very long time to realize that. And so the reason that chapter is so important is because we are right now fighting both of those things. And it's folks that look like me that have to really get down and do the work.
Yeah.
The work isn't on women to fight sexism, and the work is not on Black folks and people of color to fight racism. And that's why that chapter was so important. And again, the whole book is really, it's really just a vulnerable personal account of how I have been socialized and the behaviors that I have demonstrated and been a part of, and the things that I've done, and the ways in which I've hurt and been hurt. It's a personal exploration. It's almost like it's a meditation on masculinity. And so I would also say the sexy enough chapter is probably a really big one for men to look at, because as men, so much of our masculinity is tied to our sexuality.
Yeah.
And I hope that men see, even though it's going to be super uncomfortable, a version of their own story in mine.
I think with Sexy Enough, and we can go into a little bit, but in the title, it says Sexy Enough, Intimacy, Insecurity, and the Paradox of Porn. So describe real quick the paradox of porn.
Sure. Well, I was introduced to porn when I was 10 years old, and that age is getting younger and younger.
Yeah.
I mean, I was born in 1984, so I'm an elder millennial, if you will, 37 years old. And I couldn't even have an erection when I was introduced to porn. It was just a, oh my God, boobies, yeah. Right? It was an innocent curiosity. And as you start to get a little older, you know, we got a computer and, you know, you get curious and you look and you find something else and your brain starts to tell you, ooh, I like that, right? It becomes curious. Well, it's curious because it's also taboo because nobody's talking about it.
Right.
There's no sexual education for young boys. So we learn about sex, and our sexual education comes from other boys. Well,
they know nothing.
What the hell do other boys know about sex?
Exactly.
Where are they learning it from? Right?
Right.
Who's the guru? Who's the mentor here?
There's not one.
Right? So we learn about these things, and generally there's a boy who discovered porn who teaches the other boys, or it's a boy that has a big brother that discovered his porn magazines, or it's passed down, right? And we learn about these things, and what we learn is false. And so then we eventually start watching porn ourselves. And then porn becomes a way that we learn about sex. That means we're learning about sex from a business that's profiting off of me watching the porn.
Right.
It's a business, right?
Yeah.
It's like you don't learn about making money going into a casino. They want to take your money.
Right.
And what does porn want, right? Especially for young boys. Porn wants to acquire new users, just like the tobacco industry. And it's built off of random reward theory, which is the same thing we build slot machines off of. It's Pavlovian, like it. You get that dopamine hit, you want to go back for more. But in the porn industry, what kind of porn are these boys watching? What are we learning about? What are we learning about in our first sexual experiences? What we're learning is that porn is violent. So that means sex is violent. Mm. We're learning that no doesn't mean no, it means yes. We're learning that women and girls should be called sluts and whores. Right? We're learning that we need to conquer. This is how we're teaching our boys about sex. And you're going to tell me that it's a surprise that 1 in 4 women will be raped in their lifetime or sexually assaulted? Of course not. Because this is what we're teaching these boys. We're not sitting down with these boys and explaining to them how their bodies work. We're not sitting down with these boys and explaining to them that their penises are not something that they should be ashamed of, that they're going to have erections at all times of their young adult life.
And sometimes for no reason at all. Yeah.
For no reason at all. You're not even going to be thinking about it.
Yeah.
A woman is going to pop up. Like, we're not, we don't talk or think about these things.
No.
And that's the issue, is that when something is taboo, it creates this shame and this level of secrecy around it. So as boys, we grow up, we start watching porn. We start watching porn to learn about sex. And then we just start watching porn to self-medicate. Because when we feel lonely or isolated, it's a release,
yeah,
right? Because that's how that's the chemicals work in our body. So we have to unlearn all of that behavior over time. And it all could be avoided if somebody would have just been brave enough to sit down with us and teach us about what sex is, and be willing to be uncomfortable and say, you know what, I know you're only 10 years old, but I got to talk to you about something. I want to tell you about how this is going to work. And I don't want you to laugh because it's not funny. Mm-hmm. And I don't want you to laugh when you learn about it in school, because it's not funny. It's why you're here. Right?
Right.
And then we start to learn about sex versus it being taboo and all the religions and all these cultures, and it's a sin and this and all this other stuff. Sure, let it be all those things, but it doesn't mean we can't talk about it.
Yeah, I agree. And I did an episode of this podcast with Melissa Pintor Carnegie, who runs Sex Positive Families on Instagram. And if you follow Sex Positive,
follow her.
Yeah. No, she's. I told her when we sat down, I was like, this is going to be less of a podcast and more of a one-on-one coaching session of how to talk to sex with my daughter when she gets of age. So and that's what it turned out to be. It was a great episode. This is a great book, Man Enough, Undefining My Masculinity. Justin Baldoni, thank you so much for taking the time out. I know you've got a million of these to do today. So we'll
it's been a pleasure talking to you, Dolo. Hey, I hope we can do it again, my man.
Anytime, seriously. Thank you. Of course, this episode of the podcast dealt with men healing from trauma and undefining our masculinity. And I truly believe we all have work to do in that area. But if you're just starting out on this journey and you're feeling a little insecure and a little inadequate and want to buy a house that's too big to make up for some of those feelings, call my good friend William Wilson of the Hammonds Group. I'm all for healing, but why not heal in the comforts of our brand new condo overlooking the beautiful Nashville skyline? That sounds like some kind of healing I'd like to do. I'm making very inappropriate jokes considering the very serious conversation I just had with Justin Baldoni. Anyway, my point is, William Wilson is a great realtor, and you should call him today. He's somebody you can trust. He's going to go out and get the best price for you. He's going to fight for you. He's going to do all the things you need him to do. So call him right now, 615-216-4809. Again, if you're looking to buy or sell in the state of Tennessee, call my actual good friend William Wilson of the Hammonds Group, 615-216-4809. Or hit him up on that online interweb, williamwilsonhomes.com. I want to say thank you once again to my guest, Justin Baldoni. He was an amazing guest. His book is called Man Enough, Undefining My Masculinity. I cannot recommend it enough. Get it, read it. Men, women, everybody should take a look at this book. It is that good. Thank you to Justin Baldoni. Brand new episode next Wednesday. My guest, Master P and Hersey Miller. Definitely looking forward to that conversation. As always, make sure you follow, subscribe, whatever the hell the platform you're using calls it, to the podcast. You can also follow me on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Clubhouse, everything at DoloWhite101, DoloWhite 101. Again, as I always do, I ask, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, write a review, give me 5 stars. Definitely helps me out. Back next week with a brand new episode. Thank you for checking me out. I'm gone.